Can you make the choice to believe? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, before we go on, I want to tell you about our National Bible Conference, which is beginning next Monday, October 26th. You're not going to want to miss this. We do it once a year, and it is a fantastic experience. You can find out more about our National Bible Conference and all of our events by going to faithalone.org and clicking on events. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning into the show. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're taking your questions. Be sure to send them to radio@faithalone.org. And if you have other questions that you don't hear us answer on the radio, definitely go to our website, faithalone.org, and we have hundreds and hundreds of articles, and we have videos, and we have audio for you to listen to, such as prior episodes of this show at our website, or you can go to iTunes or Stitcher and look us up there. Here's a question from Scott, and Scott says, in reference to a previous episode that we did on believing and trusting, he said, during the discussion, Bob said trust is a choice and belief is not, or something to that effect. This muddles the free to choose. I mean, I choose to believe in Jesus. Can you elaborate and clear this back up for me? Choosing to
trust,
and then there's choosing to believe. So let's first say, okay, what's the difference between trusting and believing, first of all?
Okay, well, first of all, trusting is rarely used in the New Testament in the English translations. I looked this up. I believe it's 25. Trust only is found one time in John's Gospel, whereas the word believe is 100 times. And the one time it's used negatively. Notice in John chapter 5, verse 45, "Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust." And then he says, "For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" Do you notice the emphasis on believe in verse 46? If you believed Moses, you would believe me, but right. You do not believe his writings, how can you believe me? Four times the word believe is used in verse 46 and 47, and in verse 45, he says they trust in Moses.
And I'm looking at my interlinear here, and it's translated trust, but our interlinear kind of says this is a hope. You've hoped in Moses.
Right. This is elpizo, and hope would be the idea. It's used different ways in the New Testament. For example, Paul says in one of his epistles, "I trust to come to you soon." He's saying, "I hope I'm able to come to you soon."
Right.
He's using hope in the way we use it in English. And it's not certain, but it's something I desire, but I don't know if it's going to happen.
Right.
Sometimes the word translated trust refers to something which is certain, but yet future.
Mm.
Paul will say, "You who first trusted in Christ." And what he means there is first hoped in Christ in the sense of I'm hoping for his soon return. It's not hoping that I get eternal life, but it's hoping in the sense of I know he's coming for sure, but I hope it's in my lifetime.
Right.
That kind of thing. So to use trust is very confusing, especially when he says Moses in whom you trust. What he means is they're hoping that by obeying Torah,
yeah,
the commands of Moses in the first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, also called the Torah,
yeah,
that they would somehow spend eternity in Messiah's kingdom.
Right.
And what Jesus is saying is you should have believed Moses,
mm-hmm.
and he makes it clear that Moses wrote about him. Moses was telling people to believe in him. And so because they didn't believe Moses, hoping in Moses wasn't going to give them eternal life.
Right. So you have believing, which is to be persuaded that a claim is true.
Correct.
And then hope or trust has a range of meanings.
It has a range of meanings, but basically it does not mean something that you're convinced of right now. For example, even when you say you who first trusted in Christ, he's referring to his soon return, which is uncertain as to when it's going to occur. But let's think about it in English. Let's say that you have a doctor and you need surgery. If the doctor performs surgery, you have to trust him to do that surgery,
and
right?
And you choose to trust
You choose to trust
You're
him.
Like, okay, I don't know for sure, and the doctor will say, we're 90% sure that this is going to have a good outcome.
Right.
We're not 100% sure. We can't tell you that. And you just have to choose to say, yeah, I'm going to go ahead.
Well, like, for example, Sharon, my wife, had to have surgery for what they thought was a benign ovarian tumor. And it turned out to be cancer. And the cyst burst.
On the actual operating
on
table.
On the operating table. And so then they had to do some treatments. Went into the doctor and she said, Sharon has about a 75 to 80% chance that this will completely go away. She'll never get cancer again. She's going to be cancer-free if we do chemo. Well, we trusted the doctor on that.
Right.
But the doctor herself said 75 to 80% chance of survival. So that meant there was a 20, 25% chance that even with chemo, Sharon was going to die.
Right.
Trusting the doctor to do the chemo didn't mean we were sure that she was going to be delivered. But with Jesus, when I believe in him for everlasting life, it's a sure thing.
So where does choice fit in again with the believing? Trusting, it seems like you choose to trust someone in the sense that what you commit yourself to them, it's like you behave a certain way. I mean, does trust have a behavioral component,
well,
maybe?
Yes. I mean, like when Sharon chose to undergo chemo, there was a behavioral component. She had to go to the chemo location, had to be there for 5-6 hours of treatments,
yeah,
and then had to go back for more blood work to see if she could do the next one and when she could do the next one.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard work. For a lot of people, they don't like using believing in Jesus. They want to talk about trusting in Jesus because they want to get in some sort of commitment.
Right. And so when they do that, and they're using that in an evangelistic context, and they're telling people to trust in Jesus, what a lot of people are hearing is, I need to behave a certain way. I need to get in the wheelbarrow. I need to get in the airplane. I need to get in the
elevator.
Isn't
that the illustration
they use?
Right?
Those are the popular illustrations, right?
Set in the chair.
It's not enough to just believe the chair
or believe the elevator or believe the airplane. Yeah, you got to get in. And whatever that getting in is more than believing.
And so trusting really is, okay, it is a decision and it does have a behavior component, but believing is more passive. It's more passive in the sense that, in the first sense, you're believing the promiser to do as he has promised.
Right.
And secondly, you don't choose to believe. You either do or you don't. You're either persuaded or not.
Right. Now, I would point out, and this is maybe where we could help Scott here, in John 5, 39 and 40, Jesus points out that they were looking to the Old Testament, particularly the commands of the Old Testament. You search the Scriptures,
right,
for in them you think you have eternal life.
Right.
And then he says, but these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life.
And coming to Jesus, isn't it sometimes used as a figure for believing?
Yeah, in John 6:35, he who comes to me shall never hunger, he who believes in me shall never thirst. So what he's saying is, if you are unwilling to come to Jesus, you're unwilling to believe in Jesus, then that can and probably will keep you from coming to faith.
All right, so you can be willing to believe or unwilling to believe, but does that mean belief is a choice?
No. What it means is openness to the evidence is a choice.
Okay.
When Jesus was preaching to the Jewish people, if they were hardened against what he was saying and they were unwilling to believe what he was saying, all the miracles he did and all the teaching he did was going on deaf ears and deaf eyes or blind eyes, because they couldn't really see. They couldn't really hear because they were unwilling. They were blinded by their tradition. And that can happen to us today.
Right.
So a person does need to be willing to believe, unless there's some sort of Damascus Road experience like Saul had. And even there, it may be he was willing.
Right.
We don't know. But actual belief occurs once the evidence convinces us. There's no point at which you say, okay, I don't believe now, but I'm going to choose to believe. And oops, now I believe.
Yeah.
Let's say I said to you, there is no such thing as the coronavirus. There's no such thing as COVID-19. Could you choose to believe that?
Not at this point.
Why not?
No, because I've seen studies and I've seen the pictures and the videos and I've heard the testimonies of doctors. And
your
my
wife,
own wife
works as a nurse.
My wife is a nurse and they have
a lot of COVID
patients.
At a major hospital,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
the evidence would convince me otherwise.
So you can't choose to believe something you don't believe.
Right.
If I said to you, why don't you choose to believe that Hillary Clinton is president of the United States? You right. can't choose to believe something that's contrary to fact.
Right.
So until you're convinced that something is true, you can't choose to believe it. Now, you could be open to the evidence.
Right.
And I could say, I don't particularly believe that COVID-19 is as bad as the media presents it. I think COVID-19 is a dangerous flu, but it's not a whole lot worse than other types of flu. That's my view.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't just look at the evidence that we get in the mainstream media. I'm following different things. But the truth is, most people think that COVID-19 is on par with the bubonic plague
mm-hmm.
or Ebola or something absolutely horrendous. The reason why is they're looking at different evidence that I'm looking at.
Right, they're choosing. You can choose to look at different types of evidence.
Right, and they're choosing to shut themselves off from this other evidence because if I were to bring up some of this other evidence, they'd go, oh, those are crackpots.
Right.
Yes, those are pediatricians, but they don't know what they're talking about when they say the schools should reopen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and yes, those are doctors, but they're stupid when they say our immune system can fight this off unless we have a compromised immune system, in which case maybe we should quarantine the people with compromised immune systems and not quarantine everybody else.
Right.
But the point is, the reason why my views are what they are mm-hmm. is because the evidence has convinced me. I can't now choose to believe, well, guess what? COVID-19 is the worst plague that's ever hit planet Earth.
Right.
I just can't choose to believe that.
Right. But you can choose to wear a mask if a store forces you.
I do.
Right?
I do.
Even though you don't believe that necessarily.
No, I don't believe a mask is good.
Right.
But I wear it, and I wear a mask into our office and out of the office because that's what the government asks of me.
Right.
And so I do it, but I don't believe it.
Yeah. Well, this is very interesting. I hope, Scott, I don't know if this has answered your question at all or if it's raised more questions. Maybe it's raised more questions for you. If it has, send your questions to radio@faithalone.org. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about how much someone has to understand in order to believe. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.